Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. Be careful this holiday season. If you find yourself needing a lawyer, you know what to do. GarzaLaw.com, 865-540-8300. East Tennessee's premier DUI defense, criminal defense, and personal injury lawyer. And also this Christmas season, give the best gift of all. This is something that Marcos feels strongly about. Help in hunger. Support the Fish Pantry. Support the Fish Pantry. They help feed over 7,000 families in the Knoxville area each month. This holiday season, send family and friends Fish Hospitality Pantry Christmas cards and help provide food for hungry families in our community. Each $5 donation feeds a family of four for 3 days. To order cards, go to fishpantries.org. Fishpantries.org. Let's get to the episode.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass. He can't do math. He's an idiot. He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 on extra point when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch coming at you on Thursday. Sorry for the 1 day delay. The odds of December. Seth joins me down in Alabama. What's up, Seth?
Not much, Sean. Good to hear your voice as usual.
Excellent to hear your voice. It's almost Christmas time. Are you ready?
I am. I'm ready for Christmas.
Do you have your shopping done?
Yeah. I'm good to go.
You've got all your shopping done already?
No, not really. But, you know, it's just I take it a day at a time. You know, I pick up a little here. I pick up a little there.
That's the way to do it. Just when it crosses your mind, like, oh.
Yep.
This would be a nice gift. That makes it more thoughtful rather than going out and getting it all done at once. So I agree. Good strategy by you. I also do not have my shopping done. I've got like 20% of it, so I gotta get it going a little bit.
Got plenty of time. Got 10 days, so.
The weather's throwing me off. The weather does not feel like we're 10 days away from Christmas.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty wild. It's gotten colder here today, though.
Welcome to Joe Biden's America. Am I right?
Listen, if it stays warm, that's cool with me. Just lots of rain, though. I mean, just raining non-damn stop. I wish it would stop raining.
The angels are crying. Welcome to Joe Biden's America. Well, speaking of crying, Tennessee, good news, bad news. Tears of joy, tears of pain, tears of goodbye. Tennessee's upperclassmen, who I think for the most part we all kind of thought would go to the NFL draft, have announced they're going to the NFL draft. Jalin Hyatt, draft, no bowl game. Cedric Tillman, no bowl game. Darnell Wright, NFL draft, but playing in the bowl game. What were your takeaways there?
I think that, I mean, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever for Hyatt and Tillman to play, in my opinion. Like, especially Tillman. It would be a little different, I think, if Hendon Hooker was still quarterback, but why should they go out there and risk injury when, you know, Hendon Hooker ain't playing? Are they going to get the ball? We don't know. Darnell Wright, I mean, it seems like he can get the most from this game. He can get the most out of this game because Clemson has a pretty good defensive line. I know Miles Murphy declared for the draft, but I'm not sure if anybody else has. I saw their linebacker has, but I'm not sure about any other defensive lineman they have. But regardless, it's going to be a talented front seven, and he's not hamstrung really by who's giving him the ball. He can just line up and road grade his opponent.
And injury concerns for an offensive lineman are usually not nearly as high.
Yeah.
Very few offensive linemen have catastrophic injuries, knock on wood, but like, I mean, the idea that he can prove something against Clemson, I guess you're right. I would be surprised if they had their full defense even past Miles Murphy. Like, I think there'd probably be another guy that's probably going to opt out. But I'm sure the backups are good. And it will be a watched bowl game. And he probably has the most to maybe prove.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't blame him at all for not playing. It seems to me he's playing mostly because he absolutely loves Glenn Ellerbe so much and he loves Cooper Mays.
Well, also, I think he probably feels more obligated too as well. Like, if your offensive lineman's opting out, that puts the team at much more risk than a wide receiver opting out. Not saying Hyatt doesn't have a huge impact on the team, obviously, but a little bit easier to replace with a wide receiver and a plethora of wide receivers than try to put your backup right tackle in.
Yeah.
And plus, Jalen Hyatt's going to have the combine to show what he can do. The combine for the offensive lineman doesn't do near as much, right?
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, if he goes out there and throws up like 80 of the bench press reps, or, you know, breaks a record there, obviously not 80, but if he goes out there and breaks a record, sure. But otherwise, like, show some athleticism and...
Like, he can dunk a basketball. Do they really need to see how athletic he is?
Just put on the game film against Alabama, bro.
He's, like, just watch the last 2 years when he's been just awesome. I mean, he really has been awesome. It's really nice when the 5 stars you get are as good as they're supposed to be.
Well, see, I wouldn't even say that. I would say, to me, I said it a little bit on the radio show, but to me, Darnell Wright was very close to going the Khalil McKenzie, Wanya Morris route of 5-star that comes here and doesn't really live up to the hype. Like, you know, he almost hit the transfer portal. He had that weird thing where he announced he was committing back to Tennessee, and everyone kind of scoffed and laughed at him. And, like, he was, I don't want to say an afterthought, but he was a guy that's like, yeah, so what? Like, it's nice to have for depth, but... still need to recruit that position hard. And then he turned himself into a first or second round pick at the latest. And, you know, really was the linchpin of the offensive line and is probably now going to be mentioned, not in the same breath, but, like, he's our most beloved offensive lineman since Trey Smith. Like, he'll be there with, like, Juwan James and Tiny Richardson. Like, he's earned that. So it's a huge glow up for him in that regard. Like, he will now be stamped in Knoxville. He leaves with a very, very high, you know, image of him.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a great story. Pretty disappointing first 2 years, and then...
turned into a monster.
Totally turned into a monster.
Like you said, he did become the 5-star he wanted, but, like, I think we have to kind of give the context of, like, kind of sucked his first 2 years. Like, he wasn't that guy.
Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, yeah, what I was going to say was, like, it's nice when they are as good as they're supposed to be, and it's even crazier that they end up being as good as they're supposed to be after being so disappointing the first 2 years. You know, like, he was bad. He was – Wanya Morris was a much bigger loss than Darnell Wright would have been. And then they flipped Darnell to left tackle last year, and he was awesome. He was awesome this year at right tackle. He seems like a very likable guy, too. He seems like a very likable guy. So, yeah.
I thought Hyatt didn't have much to prove in the bowl game, but I did kind of talk myself into Hyatt maybe wanting to come back to school and raise his draft stock. But I think ultimately, like, Joe Milton being the quarterback probably makes that a much dumber decision.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Jalen Hyatt also, like, believes in himself and, like, he's going to put up blazing numbers at the combine. Like, he will show out at least in the speed portion of it. I don't know what his lateral quickness will look like or whatever, but, like, he'll run a sub-4.4, I would imagine, right?
Are you a little surprised that he's not an ironclad lock to be a first-round draft pick?
Well, I don't know what his, like, I don't know if you consider him, like, do you consider him athletic and, like, agile? I mean, athletic's a dumb question, but do you consider him agile?
Yeah, I don't know. He's not a standard slot receiver.
That's what I'm saying. Like, to me, like, he's a burner. We know that.
But is he going to play slot in the NFL?
I don't know. Yeah, like, and you don't usually use first-round picks on slot receivers, right? Like, those are usually reserved, you know, traditionally for the big outside receivers.
Yeah, and slot at Tennessee is different. It's the most complicated position to play. It's just, it's different than it, you know. I mean, it's, like, slot at Tennessee can do a lot that, I mean, slot guys probably aren't going to do in the NFL.
I mean, we argue about it, and, you know, fans put it down, but, like, there is some truth to, like, Hyatt's open a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, can you name three really tough catches he had to make this year? The one in the end zone, you know, in between, like, the safety, you know, when he gets hit to tie the game against Alabama, I believe it was. Like, that was a big-time catch. But, like, a lot of the other stuff, he's just running wide open, which is the point. And, like, Hype was scheming him up. So, like, I'm not trying to take away from Hype. But when you're asking about, like, being surprised he's not a lock for the first round, I would say teams have questions about that.
Yeah, I just – he's just so fast, and he was just – he was unguardable. I mean – I just kind of figured like he would be, because I saw him a couple weeks ago mocked to like the Ravens with the 25th overall pick, and I was like, that seems about right. Like,
it's been 25 later, and then like I think like top 10 in the second round. Like, I'd be surprised if he dropped below like 42nd. Is kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And you know, I was hoping that with NIL money, that maybe it would make sense for him to come and be like, I want to be an ironclad first round pick.
Because I don't being know. A top,
you know, it's kind of what we talked about with Kenny Chandler. Like, if you can come back and you can get into that range, it's worth it, especially if you can get some money to hold you over. I don't know if it was ever confirmed, but, like, and obviously, like, Los Angeles is different. But the reports last year was that Jordan Addison, reigning Biletnikoff winner at the time, got a $3.5 million NIL deal. So, like, if Hyatt could even get in the ballpark of, like, $2 million, I thought, like, okay, maybe it would make sense for him to come back. But maybe the elephant hanging in the room, the cloud hanging out with the elephant in the room, was that like the quarterback position might take a pretty big drop off and the numbers will go way down.
Yeah. And even if that's true, I mean, Jordan Addison is going pro this year. I just don't know how often we're going to see a guy that is going to be a top three round draft pick stay because of NIL money.
Yeah. I saw a report from one scout that said at the quarterback position, unless you're a top guy, like you can make more money transferring in NIL money as a quarterback than like getting drafted. So maybe at the quarterback position it'll be different.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna say like, I'm not gonna say anything about Tennessee's NIL in regards to Jalin Hyatt or any player until I see players at other schools turn down being a pick in the first three rounds because of NIL money, because I haven't seen it happen yet. If it has happened, someone tell me. I don't know of any off the top of my head. I don't, and because it happens once or twice, I don't think that's ever going to become a thing that happens often. Now, your idea about like, I don't know, like Grayson McCall, for instance, he for sure could make more in NIL money than going to the NFL, I'd say. Devin Leary or whatever his name is, Devin O'Leary. I think his name's just Leary, and I always want to say O'Leary. Him probably. But other than quarterback, like, he's, like you said, Jordan Addison got $3.5 million, and he's still going pro.
Well, yeah, but, like, I mean, at the time last year, he was a sophomore. So, like, he couldn't go pro last year. So, I want to say that, but, like, I'm just saying, like, if Hyatt could have – like, he was just the reigning Biletnikoff winner at the time. So, maybe Hyatt would have had to transfer to get that big check. Who knows? So, maybe go pro instead of transfer. But do you think differently about basketball? Because he wasn't anywhere near the prospect, but he would have got drafted. But Oscar Shible was like, I'll stay at Kentucky and make seven figures rather than go be a second-round pick.
Yeah, I think basketball at schools that are basketball schools is going to be different because it's such fewer players. I mean, Kentucky cares about basketball probably more than anybody else, and they have SEC money, and they've got 10 dudes they got to take care of, and one of whom is, you know, a first-team All-American. It's just, until I see NFL prospects that are going to be top three-round picks, turn that down for NIL money, I don't believe it's going to happen. I do not believe it will ever happen with regularity. The NFL is just, it's too alluring. The sooner you go pro, the sooner you can get that next contract and hit it big. You don't have to go to class. You don't have to deal with anything else. You can just play football. Like, I just don't think it's ever going to, I don't think kids will ever turn down top three, being a top three-round pick for NIL money. And I think it would be crazy to do.
I hear you. And in football, it's so dangerous. So that's different than basketball too, right? There are more catastrophic injuries in football. The margin for error is much thinner. The careers are much shorter. I get all that. But like the difference between being drafted at 40th versus like 18th is like $8 million.
Yeah, but is Jalin Hyatt going to be able to do that?
I don't know. I mean, like, do you think there's something to the idea of like coming in as an afterthought this year versus coming in as a big time player, like, and proving it again, like with that racist talk, if he did, you know, put 5 pounds of muscle on and prove that he could get open again and that they weren't busted coverages and that he was an all around receiver.
I agree with what you're saying, actually, like going from 40 to 18, but that to me doesn't have anything to do with NIL money, really, because you just said it's $8 million.
Well, I would difference. Say, I would
so
say
who cares?
To me, the NIL comes into play. Sorry to cut you off, but the NIL comes into me is like making $0. It's a no-brainer. Like, hey, I'll go take the $10 million over 4 years versus hoping for, you know, $20 million over 4 years. But if you get $2 million to stay in school to kind of ease it, like, I would almost argue I'd rather make $2 million in college as Jalin Hyatt than I would as make $3 million in the NFL.
I think that your hypothetical there where, like, let's say an offensive tackle. I mean, that's easy to see. Like, an offensive tackle has all the tools. You know, he's 6'7", he's long, whatever, and he's going to be, like, the 40th overall draft pick, but he can come back for one more year. And if he's a monster, then it's very easy to see him being a top 10 pick. Like, yeah, they're going to come back because that's such a massive difference. To me, that's just how it's always been. I don't really know how much NIL is going to factor. I think NIL is going to be the biggest overall in recruits out of high school and transfer portal. I just don't know. Like, the thing you're talking about, improving your draft stock with, you know, worth $8 million, they're going to come back for that reason alone.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, I mean, I don't know Hyatt's family situation or whatever, but, like, if you're a player who comes from a family who needs money, if you, you know, aren't making a lot of money, if you're looking for a payday, it'd be easier to bite down for a year if you're making $1 million rather than, like, well, like, I'm deciding to stay in the school. I'm deciding to stay in the school like Arian Foster, and now I can't eat tacos. You know what I mean? Like, now I'm broke, and I'm having to struggle for a year. I, that's all I was saying is that it changes that.
Yeah. To me, the biggest thing about Jalin Hyatt is that he can't afford to come back because of the quarterback situation.
And I 100% agree with that. It's so crazy, like, Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck and Jake Locker, those quarterbacks, and Mark Sanchez, who could have been top 10 picks and number one overall picks, top three picks. I was like, yeah, I'll do an extra year of school for quote-unquote free. That seems crazy.
Yeah, it does.
What do you think about my take that I would rather be Jalin Hyatt at Tennessee versus Jalin Hyatt in the NFL as a second-round pick? Making a little bit less money. Like, instead of $3 million, I'm making, like, $1.5 million. Just because that year, I think, would be so fun. Although maybe the year wouldn't be as fun as it was this year. Maybe there's, you know, if you go 8-4, it's not as fun being the big man on campus.
I think that $1.5 million is a lot of money to walk away from. I think that's too much money.
Just for a year, though?
With all the questions that surround it, I mean, you know, all the things that could happen, he could have a non-contact injury. Just like it's nothing.
Yeah, I don't really know how insurance works on that. You know, you always hear about the players taking, like, insurance policies out on their bodies and stuff. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. I just don't think you could walk away from $3 million in that scenario. And if, like, Hendon Hooker was coming back, then I think it would be, like, a different conversation, right?
Yeah, I agree. And that, to me, is the biggest point is I'm not sure I would improve my stock if I don't trust the quarterback.
Yeah.
And I also think he believes that he'll probably test into the first round anyways. Like, the mock drafts now from Kiper McShay don't really mean shit. They're going to be drastically different after the combine. So maybe he doesn't believe that he's a second-round pick. Maybe he knows he'll be that guy already, which makes that whole conversation we had kind of obsolete and meaningless.
Yeah. I was surprised at some of the names I saw on the ESPN mock draft that I was surprised he wasn't in the top. I was surprised he wasn't in the first round. I mean, I really was. Like, it.
To me, that was weird because, the guys ahead of him, there's the guy from TCU. There's the guy, you know, Jordan Addison from USC. I think there's a Boston College guy. Is that right? Or
yeah, Zay Jones. He's really good.
Yeah, and there's one more that, you know, was that Kiper McShay had ahead of him. Maybe that's even right. Maybe there'll be more than
Zay Flowers.
Yeah, maybe there'll be more than four receivers taken in the first round. Because they had two running backs in the top 20. They had one running back in number five. They had the Eagles having a top five pick because of the Saints pick and drafting a running back, drafting the guy from Texas. I'm like, that seems really, really stupid.
Yeah, the craziest thing to me probably is that in his best available for day two, Jalen Hyatt's not in there. But Josh Downs is, and Josh Downs was really good at North Carolina, but Josh Downs is 5'10", and Jalen Hyatt's really big. I mean, like, I was just surprised. I mean, like, the guy at Boston College is really good.
Side note, do they ever talk about what happened with McShay? Do they ever address that?
No, I don't think so. They just sent him back out there on camera.
Whenever he was, like, tweaking his words and tweaking, and seemed like he was in bad shape. But I never saw it get addressed. I wasn't sure. Ned asked why Hyatt would play against Vanderbilt but not the bowl game. What was there to be gained by playing in the Vanderbilt game? Which, I mean, if you're talking about risk of injury, it was raining. That would be an easy game to opt out of. I think it's just, Ned, I would say it's just the perception. Like, very few people have quit in the regular season. Some have. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba kind of did. You had Nick Bosa a couple years ago at Ohio State just be like, nah, I'm good. I don't feel like playing. I think it's a different thing, though, to opt out of a bowl game that pretty much is a foregone conclusion now. Credit to Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey for being willing to do it. They got killed for it, and now it's just like common sense that everyone doesn't really argue about.
Yeah, and at the time, there was also like an outside chance that Tennessee could still go to the playoff.
And yeah, I mean, I would say you also wanted to win the Biletnikoff as well. Like, you wanted some stats for that.
It was a long shot to get in, but there was still something on the line against Vandy, whereas there's nothing on the line. Like, there's a big difference in playing an SEC conference game and playing in this bowl game that doesn't have anything at stake.
The Gramco is a presenting sponsor of Reed's Ranch. What is the Gramco? Well, it is your go-to destination for all your Delta 8 needs. Gramco currently offers numerous Delta 8 products and merchandise, including Wake and Bake Delta 8 coffee, Delta 8 disposable vapes, Delta 8 gummies, the fruit punch is my favorite, and Delta 8 quick mix, pre-rolls, and my favorite, hard candies, some big orange hard candies. Go to thegramco.com, browser selection, use the promo code BALLS25 for 25% off your order, and then you get free standard shipping for orders over $50, and that shipping is quick and discreet. Must be 21 or older. Gramco offers you an enjoyable, legal high delivered discreetly and directly to you. thegramco.com, thegramco.com. Let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/Reed's Rants. Let's give a shout out to some new patrons.
I'm ready.
That's it. That's the list, Seth. No new patrons.
They're saving up their money for Christmas. They're saving up their money for Christmas with gas and grocery costs, you know. It's hard times. It's hard times.
Let's get to some patron questions. What do you got?
Brother Jonah asks, if you had to have one Russell lead your favorite team playing the entire time in 2022, Westbrook or Wilson?
Westbrook.
Is he still with the Lakers?
Yeah, and he's coming off the bench now. Like, as a sixth man. He might win sixth man of the year, honestly. I mean, like, he's still not great, but he's played a hell of a lot better. Like, it's still not great, but he's carved out a niche. Like, he's at least carved out a role, I should say. He's not going to get just released by the Lakers, it doesn't look like. There was a chance he might be all the way out of the NBA, like that no team was going to sign him if he was like causing a fuss and not being a team player. I think Russell Wilson is awful, as I tried to tell you in the offseason. I think you owe me an apology. I think you owe me an apology.
He's awful.
That's not you apologizing to me. I think you owe me an apology.
For what?
You remember.
Being wrong?
For mocking me, for saying I was an idiot and laughing in my face. Well, on video Zoom.
Yeah, I was wrong about Russell Wilson. He sucks.
That's not what I'm asking for. I want you to apologize to me.
Maybe offline.
No, it needs to be a public apology. You need to take your lashings.
I was wrong. Russell Wilson does suck. I didn't.
It's big of you to admit you were wrong, but that's not what I'm after.
I'm sorry for saying you looked goofy in a gold chain.
Getting warmer.
Oh, that's all I'm apologizing for. Hell, Ryan Tannehill, I'm not, no, we're not, no, we're not, no.
Ryan Tannehill's must have been Russell.
He is,
Russell
he is,
Wilson.
He is.
Okay.
He is, but you're a Tannehill sheep.
I think Tannehill's the advanced metrics say he's a top 10 quarterback, buddy.
Yeah.
He's still been really good this year. I don't care what anybody says. Watch the games. He has literally the worst offensive lineman in the league as his starting left tackle.
Yeah. The regular season isn't the issue.
Well, I understand that. I'm not going to bat for Tannehill in the postseason. You're not going to goad me into that. But you know who will be in the postseason and who won't be? Ryan Tannehill will be in the postseason, and Russell Wilson will not be.
He will be. How good do we think Trevor Lawrence is going to be, though?
Trevor Lawrence looks really good. But he's Heckle and Jod.
Jekyll and Hyde?
Yes, that was a joke. He's Heckle and Jod. He looks really good sometimes, and then he gets his ass beat by the Lions and looks lost. Like, he's shown flashes. I mean, he was the number one pick for a reason. He whipped our ass on Sunday. I mean, I got nothing to say about that. He killed us. I want to focus on the Broncos, though, just for a second. What do you do if you're the Broncos? Because you gave that man like a $240 million contract. But I think you can save some money if you cut him in the offseason.
Yeah.
Do you just bite the bullet and say, screw it, like he's not it. We can't put our fans through another season of him.
Is it this offseason or next that they can, like, cut him and save the most money?
I don't know about the most. I thought if they cut him this year, they could save some.
Yeah. The first thing I would do is fire the head coach.
That's probably what they do. They just fire that moron and then give Russell one more chance. Yeah, that's probably what they do. I would say.
I would fire the head coach first, and then I don't really know what I would do on draft-wise because I don't know enough about the team, but I thought they had, like, nice pieces around them. But is Melvin Gordon not good anymore? I mean, who knows?
No, Melvin Gordon's awful. They cut him. He's gone.
Oh, they cut him. Okay. Yeah, I just remember, like, earlier in the season, him getting mad about not getting to play.
Yeah. Then they cut him. No, he's terrible.
Brother.
I take that back. They cannot cut Russell Wilson this year. Well, they can. It'll be $107 million of dead money on the cap. So they probably need to wait to after the year, like you said.
Yeah, because it was like, I read an ESPN article talking about, like, what their actual realistic choices were, and I thought that cutting him in 2024 was really the only realistic thing they could do. I would just fire the head coach. He seems awful to me. Brother Shirley asked, based on pure fan experience, would you rather attend an SEC tourney for basketball or baseball? Basketball, no question.
For fan experience, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was hot. If you get the night games, if you're like the main attraction like Tennessee was and they give you all the night games, it was pretty fun. It wasn't that hot. But almost assuredly, you're going to have more fun in whatever city the basketball tournament is.
I've had an awesome time the last 2 years at the SEC baseball tournament. But going to the SEC basketball tournament and like getting there on the Friday and watching all those games, like, it's so, and if your team keeps winning, it's just awesome.
Yeah, what'd you think about, did you have fun at this year's SEC tournament?
Yeah, it was a great time.
Basketball?
It was a great time. It's a great time being in, Jacksonville.
It was in Tampa.
Oh, Tampa, my bad. I don't know why I was thinking Jacksonville.
It was a great time as I got to watch my Vols cut down the net. If I recall correctly, you weren't there because you didn't believe in the Vols.
I didn't. I didn't think they'd beat Kentucky.
We choked Kentucky out.
We did. Brother Kenny asks, which Tennessee team is most likely to underachieve, the 2023 football team or this current basketball team?
Okay, so underachieving is all relative to expectations. What are your expectations for the 2023 football team?
I was actually thinking about this earlier today. I think that going 8-4 would be good.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. I was saying 9-3. That to me is still, you know, I'm not in the position where I'm like, well, we got to go into Alabama and beat Alabama, or we got to beat Georgia at home. Like that to me, that's not fair with Joe Milton at quarterback.
Who do we? Okay,
but
so
then,
we
like,
have
one
we
loss
have
either at Florida or at Kentucky. Like those, you get one of those, and like, if you lose to Kentucky, we're going to be mad. But like,
okay, we have A&M at home, right?
Yeah, and they suck.
Okay, 9-3.
Yeah, 9-3.
I hadn't looked at the schedule and thought about schedule. I was just like doing a, like off the top of my head, yeah. What would I think? 9-3, I think would be great.
You can't lose any of your non-conference games. You play Virginia and UTSA. You can't lose either one of those. So that would mean you'd have to, I mean, like 4-4 in the SEC would be pretty tough to swallow. Even if you pencil in Georgia and Alabama's losses, like finding two SEC losses would be pretty tough. You'd be pissed off at either one of those, right?
Yeah, Tennessee should beat A&M. Tennessee should win at Kentucky. Tennessee should. We got to see what Florida does in the portal. We got to see if Sam Hartman enters the portal after all. If Florida doesn't get anybody in the portal, then I think Tennessee should beat Florida. You know, but still, if you could live with that. Yeah, I think 9-3 is really fair. So I'm going to go with the basketball team because it just seems a safer bet. We have a football coach who has, it's unbelievable, but he's pressed about every single right button there has been to press the last calendar year. And, you know, we have a basketball coach that I really like, but he loses in March in the tournament.
Yeah, so is that all it comes down to for you as far as underachieving for the basketball team is what they do, like, in the tournament?
I think that's what it always will come down to with Rick Barnes, more or less, for a lot of people.
Well, yeah, but, like, if we have another really good regular season and losing the tournament, I don't necessarily consider that underachieving. Yeah. I think at this point, like, we should probably lose 4 games max in the SEC and, like, counting Texas and Arizona, like, 5 games, I'll say. So if we go, like, 25-5 and then lose in the, you know, second round or Sweet 16, I don't necessarily consider that underachieving.
Yeah.
And with how bad the bottom of the SEC is this year.
Oh, they're terrible, man.
Like, we should have a really, really good conference record.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I have to go football just because I'm not counting just what happens in the, you know, in March Madness, that tournament, as, you know, meeting expectations or not.
Yeah. And I think our basketball team is really good. I could also just see us having games where we can't throw it in an ocean and losing to somebody we shouldn't, and that kind of. But I mean, I think that if you went like 25-5 and lost in the second round, it would be really, really, really tough to swallow again.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Especially because that's the last time. Yeah, this will be the last time with Santi and Josiah. Like, it would be really, really. I mean, let's just say Josh Heupel's hot right now. Like, every button he presses works. So
he just whipped Nick Saban's ass head-to-head for a defensive recruit, a big-time defensive recruit.
Every button that Josh Heupel has pressed has worked.
Except the suspend Jeremy Banks or whatever the hell happened there button. That button was not good. Let's not do that button again, whatever that one was.
Brother Marwan asks, who leads us in receiving yards in the Orange Bowl?
Squirrel.
I will go with Ramel Keaton. Seems like whenever Joe gets in the game, he throws it to Ramel.
He throws it to Squirrel too.
He does. He throws Squirrel too.
Squirrel will hit 2 deep balls. Man, that Clemson game seemed a lot more fun whenever they had DJ at quarterback.
Yep. It sure did, didn't it? Brother Smitty asks, if you knew Nico would be a middle-of-the-pack SEC quarterback as a freshman, do you start him or roll the dice with Joe Milton?
This is going to be a common theme from this podcast, I guess. I don't mean to keep shitting on the pharmacist, but if you told me Nico is going to be a middle-of-the-pack quarterback, that means he is going to be, at worst, just as good as Joe Milton.
If he is a middle-of-the-pack SEC quarterback, when we roll into the swamp, he is my starter yesterday. It's not even, there's no decision to be made. There is, like, if he is the 6th to 8th best quarterback in the SEC, when you roll into the swamp as a true freshman, you start him immediately, no questions asked. It has nothing to do, it's nothing against Joe Milton, but you're talking about a guy that is seriously talented. So, yeah, you start him immediately.
And the reps are just so much more important for the future, like, I mean, like, there's a good percent chance, Seth, that Joe Milton is an elite SEC quarterback next year.
Very low. And this has always been, like, my thing about it was that for Joe to start, he has to be, in my opinion, he needs to be so much better than Nico. Not just a little bit better. He needs to be so much better.
Correct. To make it worth it.
To make it worth it. And maybe he will be. I hope he is. That would be awesome. if Joe Milton is awesome, but, you know, you got to be realistic at some point. Brother Jackie asks, what position would Jalin Hyatt play if he played soccer?
I mean, imagine big Jalin Hyatt running through and hitting a header.
I'm going to go with winger. Yeah. I would like to see Jalin Hyatt slicing in off the wing.
Jalin Hyatt would be our nine. He'd be our nine.
On crosses. Brother Dylan asks, what are your career expectations from Nico at Tennessee?
My career expectations? What does that mean?
I guess how you see his career going.
Like numbers-wise?
It's a pretty stupid question. It's an impossible question to answer. It's a stupid question.
He will be the starter for a minimum of 2.5 years. He will make Tennessee cool. And, you know, we'll make the playoffs at least once.
And he'll wear his pajama pants.
He'll have a bunch of Tennessee rednecks wearing pajama pants to games. Much like everyone who bought those dumbass bucket hats to support Khalil McKenzie.
Yeah, I think that I have very high. I think Nico is like really good. I just don't think you're going to be ranked the number 2 overall player on multiple recruiting sites if you're not awesome. And there's Bus, sure, but he's pretty consensus. The only one that doesn't have him rated in like the top 10 is ESPN for some reason. They have him ranked like 70th overall.
It is funny to me how much ESPN just punts on recruiting.
They don't even try.
They still want to be a recruiting site and have that, but they just like don't want to put any resources into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess because they know at the end of the day, when it comes to signing day, people are going to watch ESPN. So,
yeah. What are you going to do? Watch the CBS internet stream?
Yeah.
You're going to try to find like, the CBS Sports Network? No one knows what the CBS Sports Network is. Except sickos.
Did you know
Army had a first round defensive player this year, by the way?
No, I did not.
Army makes me think of the CBS Sports Network, but when I was looking at mock drafts, they have an edge rusher apparently that's a first round pick.
Good for him.
I was blown away by discovering that.
I am too. That's awesome. That's awesome. Brother Matthew Krebs asks, is it time to hit the panic button on Josiah Jordan James?
Yep. I mean, I'm not even panicking about it, but like
I don't expect him to play, period.
Yeah, I've written him off.
Exactly, agree.
Not panicking. I've just come to the realization that he is going to miss, and if he does come back and gets to play, I will be pleasantly surprised. That's where I'm at, Brother Krebs.
Yep. I started feeling during Thanksgiving that it had serious Lamonte Turner vibes to me. And I stand by that. It's bizarre because
he didn't play against Kansas, I was ready to give up. Like I gave up when he didn't play against Kansas.
Yep. But, you know, it's so bizarre. They've sent him to all these doctors. Nobody can find a thing wrong. And I'm not saying that I think everyone believes he's in pain. I'm not saying that. It's just so weird. The whole thing is weird and it just sucks. But yeah, I don't expect anything out of him because, like, to me, when he does play, is he going to be able to hit threes? Well, that's asking a lot of a guy to not play for weeks at a time and then come in and hit three. So, I don't really expect anything.
It's sad.
It is very, very sad. It sucks bad because he is extremely likable. It sucks bad. Brother G-Man asks, what's the worst part about air travel?
What's your answer? I'm curious for your answer.
The worst part about air travel is being stuck in a slender metal cylinder 1 mile off the ground going hundreds and hundreds of miles per hour.
So you're scared?
No, I'm not scared because I don't ever let myself think about it. But if you ever just sit there and think about what exactly flying entails, it's pretty harrowing. Especially, I posted the article again today in the Discord talking about like no one can really explain why planes stay in the air. Like scientists have never been able to figure this out. Like, they still, in 2022, do not know why planes stay in the air. Well, they might now. This article is from 2020. But Micah posted this article in the Discord years ago, and it has stuck with me all these years. And it's from Scientific American, so it's a reputable source. They cannot explain why planes stay in the air. And I think about this, like, all the time when I'm on a plane. Because it's like, scientists, you know, they say they can explain everything. But they can't explain how something we do every day across the entire world happens. They can't explain how planes stay in the air. But pretty much everything sucks about flying on a plane. I mean, breathing recycled air from all these strangers sucks. Getting stuck in the middle seat sucks.
The moment I get on the plane, everything from that moment sucks. Yes, 100%. I hate sitting there waiting for takeoff. That might be my least favorite part, is waiting for takeoff. I hate waiting for takeoff. I hate when I land, too, though. I hate when I have to wait to get out. But in the air, being cramped next to people, I don't much care for that either. Getting up to use the bathroom is pretty terrible, too, if you have to get up to pee. I made a mistake. Now that I'm a, you know, now that I am a, you know, Delta Premier member, Diamond member, whatever it is, I can go to the lounge. Getting to the airport, I like, actually. I go hang out in the lounge. I get drunk. I have a little drink. I eat some food. The problem with that is when I get on the actual flight, I have to use the bathroom frequently. And making your way through the aisles and into the bathroom is a miserable experience as well. All of it sucks. All of it from the moment I step on the plane until the moment I get off the plane is a miserable experience.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. It sucks. It just, and I've said this before on the podcast, but like, I've been flying since I was like, when I went to Disney when I was like 5 years old. And it never bothered me until I became like 25. And it was like, oh my goodness. Like, I am really in a metal cylinder this high up in the air with just some plastic and metal surrounding me.
Don't forget, you bet the love of your life on an airplane.
Yeah.
You owe a lot. You owe a lot to an airplane.
Yeah, it still sucks flying. I think it sucks for everyone. Oh, I'm sorry. I walked away from my microphone there. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much what you said. I will say, like, of the actual flight part, I really hate liftoff for some reason.
I don't mind liftoff. It reminds me of the Rock and Roller Coaster and the Incredible Hulk ride at, you know, Disney World and Universal Studios, respectively.
Don't you? I also hate when you land and you can just tell that the pilot is hammering on the brakes, right? Like, he's not just like, you know, barely pressing the brake. I mean, the dude is like white knuckling the little pilot steering wheel thing and just has the pedal to the floor on that brake. Yeah, that sucks too.
I really hate when the pilot has an in-flight announcement and it stops the movie or, you know, like whatever you're listening to. He comes through and has to say something. I don't like that part either. Really, flying sucks. It's just convenient.
We need to get like subsonic flights like down to where you can go like across the country in 30 minutes. That would be cool.
Whatever happened to the speed rails? Where are trains at?
I don't know. That's like communists get so uptight about having high-speed rail.
So you're out. Rail. You're out on rails.
Like, wait, this isn't Europe, dorks. This is America. We like to drive cars. Okay. Don't like it, it's so like. The issue about high-speed rail is the people that want high-speed rail, okay? It's like the issue with the New York Times, it's like, yeah, they have some cool stories that you can read, but it's about, the issue is that the people who write them. The issue is that the New York Times went on strike last week, and it's the cringiest, dorkiest thing you've ever seen. These journalists going on strike and not working one day out of the week. Like, quit trying to LARP as coal miners who went on strike for, like, actual working conditions because they were being killed. You are a member of the intelligentsia. Like, you write for the New York Times, like, one day off so you can get some better, like, health insurance. Like, give me a break. That's the same issue. It's the same issue with high-speed rail. It's the people. High-speed rail would be awesome because trains are cool. Trains are really cool. But the people that want high-speed rail are these people. They're communists, and they want to live in Europe. And this isn't Europe, and we're not communists. This is America. We like to drive cars. We like to drive big, huge trucks. That's what we like in America. Okay? If you want high-speed rail, move to Belgium. But here, we're going to drive big, huge, monster trucks that use gasoline.
Well, diesel.
Diesel.
All right, works for me. Love you, buddy. I will talk to you. What's your schedule next week? We doing a pod next week?
Or yeah, let's do a podcast next week.
Okay, well, just let me know what day works for you. I'm taking most of the week off from the radio, I think, at least after like Tuesday. So just let me know what you want to do.
Yeah, let's do a podcast next week. I love you, buddy.
Talk to
I'll
you
talk
soon.
To you next week.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
talk to God when I need a favor. And I only pray when I ain't got a prayer. So who the hell am I? Who the hell am I to expect a savior? Oh, if I only talk to God when I need a favor. God, I need a favor. I know amazing grace, but I ain't been living them words. Swear I spend more Sundays drunk off my ass than I have in church. Hardcover King James, only been saving dust on the nightstand. And I don't know what to say by the time I fold my hands. I only talk to God when I need a favor. And I only pray when I ain't got a prayer. So who the hell am I? Who the hell am I to expect a savior? God, oh my God, Hail Mary, hanging.